This is it, episode 545, No Laugh Track Podcast, here at Acme Comedy Company in Minneapolis, Minnesota. My name is Justin Severson, here each and every week, talking to the headliner most times, including this week, Liz Mealy.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Liz.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So this is, for the completest, this is the third time you've been in Acme, third time you've done the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. At this point, people are like, what else does she have to talk about? It's not much, I'll be honest.
That's my job to figure that out. And I take a lot of joy in trying to figure out how to do that. So first time was April 2021. That was you solo. Just you and I here on the stage.
Yeah, yeah. Just being like, you know what? COVID doesn't hurt us. Doesn't bother us.
Isn't it crazy to think that that was 3 years ago?
Yeah, especially because I'm like so overwhelmed right now. And I've brought it up twice with friends where I was like, I miss doing nothing. Like, I don't want to have a global pandemic, but I do want, like, I don't want a vacation. I don't want to go anywhere. I just kind of want to sit and do nothing for a week. And have, but like not have my emails pile up and nobody needs me or wants me to do anything. But also money is coming in. I have a lot of hopes and dreams. I really miss being paid to do nothing.
Oh, talk about the American dream.
Yeah,
huh?
Why not me?
Yeah, right? Exactly. So the last time you were here was less than a year ago, of course, mm-hmm. for Crash and Burn.
Yeah.
With Tim Slagle and Derek Hughes and Tommy Ryman, who I saw at the club here last night.
Yeah, we became besties. I'm going to go meet his cats.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's our. He was like, do you want to get coffee or meet my cats? I was like, cats.
Why did you have to ask? Yeah. Obviously, we all know that answer.
Yeah, I want to hang out with your kitties.
That is fantastic. So I was here last night. I loved the show. We got one of the new MCs here at Emma was working.
Yeah, she's great.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's great. And then you brought your own feature.
Yeah, Neil Rubenstein. He's awesome. I love Neil. I mean, I've known him, I don't know, 5-6 years, but he's been touring with me on and off because he headlines himself and he features for other people. But maybe like since the pandemic and a little bit before, but it's been awesome. We have the best time. He's like, I think I learned this when I was featuring for my buddy Hari Kondabolu, who is very political. He talks about, you know, politics and race and is just very funny, but, you know, is talking about serious stuff.
Yes.
And I would go up there and talk about dating and cats. And now with like, and you know, and I miss those times. And even he's just like, you know, I'm happy for you, but also sad that we don't get to tour the country together, but it's like kind of the same flip side where it's like, I want the best for Neil, but I'm also having such a great time traveling with him that it's just like, I can see how, like, as soon as he's like, he doesn't need me anymore, like almost like a parent where I'm just like, I'm going to miss you so much. Like he knows all the best places to eat on the road and he's
priceless.
Dude, and he's so anxious. He's super on time. Like, he asked me, like, a week before my hotel information, and then programmed in his car is my hotel information, and he, like, picks me up, and, like, and I'm like, coffee's like, let's do it. Like, we're like, you know when you're just on the same page as somebody? But, like, it's one thing to be on the same page as a friend. It's another thing to be on the same page with a coworker. But, like, co-working friends, it's, like, it's magic. So we have a blast. And he's hilarious. Everybody go listen and watch his special.
You said on stage last night he has a special he doesn't promote very well.
He doesn't promote anything well. Like, it makes me so mad. And so he'll complain about his career. And I'm like, just start by telling a room full of people that just laughed at your jokes to go watch more of them. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I talk about joining my mailing list. I talk about merch. I talk about my special. And it is kind of cringy. And it is a skill I didn't want to get good at. And like truly research the same way you would research how to be better as a comic. It's not the fun. I would love to say nothing and everything just work out, but that's just not how it works. And you, even if you just did 10% more promotion, you see a difference. So now I'm like promoting my special. I'm promoting his special. I'm like paying his therapist. I'm paying my therapist. Like, it just feels like I like, he calls me his aunt and I call him my nephew, which is hilarious because he's older than me, but he's being like, Aunt Liz is on TV. And I'm like, thanks, nephew. So we have a good time, but yeah, he should promote himself more and go watch his special. It's really good. I'm really proud.
Is it on YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. And your new special is on YouTube.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Holy cow, a lot of views on that already.
Yeah, I feel fortunate. You know, the first time I started putting stuff on YouTube, I think I had 15,000 followers. So it's a little more helpful now that I have over 100,000 followers on YouTube. But it's still stressful, and you know, I know my special's doing well when people say mean things in the comments. I'm like, oh, it's going outside my fan base. Like, it's so exciting. Like, truly somebody's just like, bitches, all they do is talk about their feelings. And I'm like, oh, it's traveling outside my fan base. This is so exciting.
That is fascinating to me. I was reading the comments, and one of them was said something like, I'm so happy this special dropped into my algorithm.
Yeah,
I never would have found this.
For sure.
And that was a fan, clearly. She was very happy.
Dude, I mean, I've made so many fans on my Instagram reels and Facebook and YouTube, and I'm not joking when I say, like, the algorithm has been very good to me and helped me, and I can tell when it's, you know, going outside of who already knows me, but it truly goes through a path of people that hate me personally, hate women, hate what I do, and you go through, you know how they say, like, if things suck, just keep going. Like, it's kind of like that. Like, you know, on the other side of this tunnel is light, and it's usually people being like, oh, I wasn't expecting much, but this was really good, and I'm going to go watch your other specials. Like, I'm genuinely, I don't personally take a lot of risks in how I spend my free time. I feel like I need four people to tell me a TV show is good before I even bother to watch the pilot. So when somebody is like, yeah, I popped up and I just decided to watch an hour of somebody I've never heard of, I'm like, that's wild. Like, I'm so grateful that people do that.
See, and I don't do that, but I am also in a position where I'm like, you know, I know a lot of comedians. I'm aware of when the new ones come out. So for me, I'm not really like stumbling upon people. Yeah. So I think it's so cool. And that's how people find comedians.
Even music, I'm like pretty bad. Like I need my brother to like listen to it and then harass me for a week. Like he literally just showed me three songs and two of them are like my new favorite songs. And I avoided it for weeks because I didn't trust him.
Yeah, I have a buddy that's recommending music to me right now. And that's pretty much the only way I'm going to get it. Yeah, same thing. Like I'm not... I like what I like.
Yeah,
it's closed. That window's closed.
I kind of get why your parents just listen to the same four albums they listened to when they were kids. Like, I'm so that person.
I know.
I'm trying to be better. I really am. And honestly, like, I love comedy so much, and I am very much open. But again, my openness in comedy is my coworkers and people I work with. So I'm discovering people that feature for me. I'm discovering comics I do shows with. I'm discovering friends of friends. So like, I don't even have to try in that area. And there's already this kind of one degree away. Hey, we're working at the same club. They must be decent. Like that kind of thing. So it is kind of funny that I am an old lady in every other aspect.
We didn't say the name of the special, Murder Sheets.
Yeah.
Murder Sheets. There's merch involved. I saw you held it up on stage last night.
Yeah, I really love, I try to hire an artist every time I do an album cover. Like that's where I'm kind of old school. I love all the accoutrements of, an album and a special. And I just, Nobody cares about your album cover. Now your album cover is like a little, like almost the size of a quarter when you go to buy it on iTunes or even if you do buy it.
The little square that's coming up on my Sirius XM when it plays a track. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not, think about like records, right? Like, you know, the record, like even if you don't know the album name, you know it by the record cover. Like,
for sure.
So I think I love art. I follow so many artists. I have an idea. Once I know the title of the special, I have an idea of what I think I want it to look like. And then I'm very fortunate. A lot of these artists that I like are mutual fans. And this guy, Casey Weldon, his stuff is really dark and weird. And this special is really dark and weird. And I just was like, hey, this is a bunch of stuff that you have. Is there any way to kind of map it all together and do this? And he was awesome. And then I was like, I loved it so much that I hate merch, and I loved it so much I'm now selling merch. That's how you know, because like I'm on stage being like, I hate doing this, but also please buy my shirt because I bought 300 of them.
Okay, 300 of them. 300 of them. Got
yeah.
It is fantastic. So I want to. So I watched your special the other day with my wife, and there's something in there. It brought up some memories for her of her childhood.
Really?
Yes. So we're going to talk about this and not give away some amazing things that pop up in your special. We're going to kind of tiptoe around here because people, if they haven't seen it, a lot of people have already seen it, but the people haven't, we're not going to ruin it for them. So I'm just going to say this. We watched your special and my wife was like, Yeah, this is bringing back memories of growing up, and we had people would come over every now and then, and she remembers someone coming in, going to the freezer, opening up the door and going, is there anything edible in here?
Oh, my God.
And the reason they asked that is because there was a dead hamster, there was a dead frog, there was a dead lizard, and there was a dead bird.
Okay, my question, my follow-up question is pets or found? Okay,
pets.
So they're pets. And then what was the end game? Like, why are they in the freezer? Like, what was the goals?
Burial.
Okay, so if they died in the winter, the ground is too stiff, so they have to wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one more follow-up question.
Oh, please.
Did they ever get buried?
Did they ever get married?
Buried. Did
buried.
They ever get buried?
Was they there never ever got buried. Buried.
Never.
Never got buried. So
there was no follow through.
Oh my God. I love it so much. So a kid lost a frog and they're like, hey girl, we're going to bury it when it's like May. And then people are like, we're super busy this May. We're not going to find time. I love that.
Just push. We got popsicles we need to fit in the freezer. Just push them over.
So does she like, I honestly think that's where like a dark sense of humor comes from. Like this kind of cavalierness about death. And so keep in mind, my parents are veterinarians.
Yeah.
I grew up next to my mom's cat clinic. My mom would like be covered in blood making dinner. You know what I mean? Like just,
oh my.
You know what? She had five kids and she had her own animal hospital and she was overwhelmed. And, you know, sometimes you're going to not have the most clean place for her to, it was microwavable meals. She's not cooking. But, but regardless, like my parents talked about patients at the table. They talked about surgeries. They talked about death. I saw death. There's five of us. We've talked about poop. I mean, I've changed diapers. Like, I feel between being the second oldest of five, my parents being veterinarians, and just my parents just being kind of dark in their own right. Like, my mom lost both her parents before she went to college. Oh. My dad lost his mom when he was in college. Like, am I fine with death? No, it makes me sad. But there's a silliness that I'm able to bring to it because it's so casual. In the same way that I don't know anybody that their parents are doctors, but maybe because pets, there's a little bit of wiggle room where it's like, you'll just get another. Even though you cherish your pet, there's still a little, you'll get another.
Right.
Nobody feels that way after, you know, losing a loved one. But I hear that as I'm talking, I'm like, I'm very close to being a serial killer. But as I hear about your wife's childhood, I'm like, oh, that's the beginning of a dark sense of humor where like, you know, the raviolis are next to the frog. Like, I hate when that happens. Like, you know what I mean? Just like, just kind of this, you don't even realize until you get older that you're like, oh, that might be weird.
Her mom, who is, you know, was part of this, it was her freezer. Mm-hmm. She was over today. She comes over to watch our little one.
Yeah.
And so I asked her about it. I was like, and it's so, no, like, so what animal, no prefacing, just, what animals did you have in the freezer?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, where is this coming from? It's like, oh, yeah, this is something and we talk about it.
But you know also how like you'll like, oh, if you freeze the chicken by this day, it's still good. So you put it in there. And then 4 years later, you're like, we got to throw out this chicken. Like, what happens when you do that every 5 year freezer clean and you have to make a decision? Like, are these frozen berries still good? What are we going to do with this frog? Like, they're so, like, I can't wait. Like, at some point she had to clean out that freezer. And that is, I mean, that's.
That hamster had freezer burn.
No shit.
Oh my God. I didn't even think of that. Should we just put it in the dumpster? Or do we brush this
off?
First?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
Do we do right by them? Do we just bury them all together? In a shallow grave.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
For a dog to dig up.
it's your lucky day, Pooch. You're gonna find so much in there.
So the context for that,
yes,
is I end my special on an 11-minute joke about gifting my dead cat to my best friend, and why I would do that. Like, basically, it was one of the harder things I ever had to write because I had to set up my cat's death. She was 16, died of cancer. Set up my relationship with my best friend. Set up why he would even want my dead cat. And then set up everything I did to honor her legacy in future form. You know what I mean?
You legacy honorer.
Yeah, yeah. Although I've had people seem to really love the ending, and I'm grateful because it was hard and you know, young comics will be like, I'm funny in my group of friends, but I don't know how to translate that with strangers. And the best way to think about it is your friends know you. So what pieces of information do you need to give so that they know you well enough so this makes sense? So the same thing with something as kind of dark and weird as, you know, not getting your cat cremated. How do I set up why I would do that, my relationship with the person that I'm doing it for, and why this isn't weird for us, right?
Yeah.
And that takes, you know what I mean? It's like introducing characters so that the payoff makes sense. And it was work, man. And I divided it into four sections, and it was really funny because it's an 11-minute joke. So like I would work on the first section and the rest of it would bomb. I felt like it was interesting, but it would still bomb.
Okay.
And then that section was done. So then this section's funny. Now this section, I'm working on it, and the rest of it would bomb. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's in the same with you saw me end on a joke last night about my boyfriend's botched vasectomy.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing. It was an 8-minute joke about, you know, this thing that, like, while I was writing it, we were still going through it. Like, I started writing it a month in when, like, it was slowly getting better, but it was still like, I don't know. But I tend to do, like, a dump and then try to structurally, how do I set this up? So whether you're a guy or not a guy, whether you're of age or not of age of vasectomy talk, everyone is going to care about this story or at least be interested, right? And so it's this fine line between, there's certain things that are kind of evergreen. Almost everybody's had a pet of some sort, and almost everybody's lost a pet of some sort. So that already, you don't need to overly explain that. Everybody has a friend. Everybody has a weird relationship with their best friend where you can just kind of be yourself.
Yeah.
So there's certain things where you don't need to, just by saying we've known each other for 20 years, bump, 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 you can kind of get past it. But I have to explain why he's weird enough that he would want my dead cat.
Yes.
So it's like that kind of stuff. Like the same thing with the vasectomy. I have to kind of tell you a little bit about the procedure for you to know what went wrong with this procedure. And also, you know, somebody experiencing this in real time, why they made the decision. Because that's the other thing, is that I made a lot of interesting decisions in helping my boyfriend get through this, you know, medical issue. I don't know. I'm by myself, and all my dad's a veterinarian, my sister's a nurse, my brother-in-law's an EMT. I'm the idiot in my family. I went and asked the smarter people.
Dog balls.
Yeah, and now my entire family knows about my boyfriend's balls, and it's now, you know what I mean? So it's just, I come from a dark medical family. You know, it's not weird. My dad's been like, how's Evan's balls? And I was like, they're doing great. Thank you so much for asking. You know, that's where my family is now.
Oh, that's fantastic. I wish my wife would have been here with me last night to hear the vasectomy story gone wrong.
Yeah.
Because she only likes to tell me about the, oh, it's a quick procedure, and because I haven't had it done, and I'm getting the,
but it,
go do that.
But
that
it
done.
Is. Like, that's the thing. And I try to make it clear in my joke, and it is true. It's a less than 1% chance of it happening. And actually, from doing the joke for the last like 4 months, the few people that have had issues, it seems like, so he has testicular torsion, which is like this, I'm going to be an idiot. I'm sure somebody's going to hear this and call me an idiot, but it's something where like it gets twisted, like, so it's painful or whatever. And it can, and he asked ahead of time, is this thing that I've had happen to me put me at a higher risk? And they're like, no, but I really think it does. Like, I really think it did. You know what I mean? So everybody, like, truly between the two of us, we probably talked to 15 people, and they were all like, oh, easy peasy, not a big deal, don't worry about it.
And you're getting stories from people after your shows now?
Sure. And I've had, it was actually kind of a compliment, I've had two urologists come up to me and be like, this is really accurate. I was like, I know, I didn't
get out of here,
I didn't make anything up, like, this is 100% what happened, and I'm just telling you my thought process as I was going through it. But yeah, and it's like, and that's the thing, is like, of course, as somebody that, you know, As a feminist that doesn't want to have kids, of course I want dudes to get vasectomies and everything. It's always on the woman for birth control, and it does harm your body in the pill and, you know, other forms, as well as getting your tubes tied is incredibly invasive and hard. And most people won't do it unless you've had a bunch of kids. There's all these things that puts a barrier on women and hurts women. And I think that did influence my boyfriend getting this done, but it was a rough couple of months and he still encouraged people to get a vasectomy. And that's probably why he's my boyfriend.
This man is a hero.
Yeah. He was like, it sucks. And it wasn't fun, but at the same time, I understand that it was an anomaly. And also he's kind of like, if it's less than 1% chance, like, I'm the dude, everybody else, like, this is the time to get it done. But that,
I like that, yeah.
But weirdly enough, like, that's one of the stories. Like, I seem to always have one or two stories per set. And for my new hour, that's the newest one.
There was this chunk from your set last night that I recognized from Crash and Burn.
I've kept every single joke I did it for Crash and Burn. So I worked Crash and Burn. I worked on washing my cat in the washing machine. Being sky priority, and
that's the one I remember,
the key of negotiating. And then the third one was my boyfriend being covered in tattoos.
That's where I remember that from.
Yeah,
holy cow.
So you probably heard it a couple of times because we worked on it the whole week, and I think you came
once or twice.
So I'm, it's funny because Tommy Ryman came by and he was like, oh, I don't do all the stuff that I did. And I was like, what? I loved his stuff. I mean, he had a lot of stuff that was seasonal. He talked about pumpkins for at least half of it.
Okay.
He talked a lot about, because it was in October.
It was October, that's right.
Yeah. But I, and I knew it would get chunked probably down, but if it was 20 minutes when I started, I think by the end of the week it was about 17 minutes. And I think now it got polished down to 15 minutes, but it was... Dude, time well spent. I mean, people are like, wow, this is the quickest you've written a new hour. And I was like, some of it was Crash and Burn. Like, truly, if I could do it every year, I would do it every year. It was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You're selling that really well.
Yeah.
Slagle, he didn't throw you a couple bucks to say that.
No, not at all. I did recommend friends, though. I think my buddy Tony Deo is doing it the next coming year.
Ooh.
And
yeah, this is great. Exciting. This is very exciting. Okay. The first time you were here, we talked about your book, about My Cats Are Assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever going to be a follow-up to that? Was everything said about cats in that book?
I think I said everything you can say about cats.
Yeah.
I do want to write another book. I've been kind of overwhelmed lately, but I wrote a script during the pandemic. I tried selling it. It didn't work out. But I kind of love the world that I created, so I'm trying to turn it into a novel, which isn't exactly what my last book was like.
Oh, wow.
But I've been working on an outline. My last script was historical fiction, so I've been doing more research about it. So I do hope another book is out there, but it's going to be very different from what I consider Why Cats Are Assholes, which is kind of like, like a kitschy tabletop, pooping book. I just think it's a great book to read while you're pooping. I know we're all on our phones, but sometimes you want to feel paper.
Yeah, I remember when, like, the newspapers kind of like really were converting to, people reading them online.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to people, like, I like holding the newspaper on the toilet. I don't want my phone with me on the toilet. That's gross.
That's gross. And now you're just like, what am I going to read? A shampoo bottle? What are we doing here?
Like, what am I going to do? Stare out the window? I've already seen all that.
Do you know, there's a real panic when you go into the bathroom and you realize you don't have your phone? Like, how funny is that? To be like, ah, fuck, I'm going to be alone with my thoughts for 5 minutes? This is horrible. Horrible.
God, am I gonna? Okay, I'll organize this drawer. Yeah. I've just been throwing shit in. One-handed here.
Yeah, just you're like, oh, we gotta get more toilet paper. We're down to one roll. This is like, you're like starting to see. You're like, for the first time, like, it's like when you have like a, if you're in like VR, like, you take it off and you're like, we gotta clean up this place.
Hilarious. That's very funny. I feel like one of the things we talked about, I know we did, when you were did the pod a couple years ago, was naming cats.
Yes,
right?
Very important.
And yeah, you have very strong feelings about that. There's rules kind of
absolutely.
That you have.
Yeah.
You have two cats right now?
Yeah.
And their names are?
Lunchbox and Ghost.
It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
It's the only thing I'm good at.
Did you know that there's a Reddit thread that is Name My Cat?
No. So fun.
You didn't know that.
I didn't know that, and I've named a few fans cats. Like, it's my highest honor. Like, this guy came up to me, or he messaged me on Instagram and was, like, telling me about a cat, and then we were kind of going back on some ideas, and he ended up naming his cat Truffles, which I thought was a great name. And then maybe, like, a year later, he was like, hey, I don't know if you'll remember me, but you helped me name my cat? I was like, Truffles? He's like, yeah. And I was like, don't know his name. His cat's name is Truffles. Like, was truly, like, I was like, it's one of the best things I've ever done.
You know, Truffles Dad.
Yeah.
So, I've found some names that people have been using for their cats.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm going to give them to you here. You know what to do. So, these are all off Reddit, I will say that. Okay. This one, I named my cat Parking Lot, because that's where I found her.
Nice.
You like that?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. PL, that's great.
Oh, she PL, okay, yeah. For initials. They said, we call her Lottie for short.
Oh, I like that. I'm a huge fan. Perfect.
All right, perfect, perfect, perfect. This person says, I just feel like all cats should be named Walter.
Is there any follow-up on that? Because
Another commenter said, this is the most correct comment so far.
Nah, no. I don't feel Walter. I mean, if you had, like, feelings that made Walter important to you, but otherwise, Walter is, it's just a name.
My favorite cat name, I'm reading this, favorite cat name ever heard was Velcro.
Ooh.
Because he was stuck to her side. Runner-up was Sidekick.
Both are great. I like Sidekick and Velcro.
I knew you'd like those.
Perfect.
Fig. She's black and orange. Torty.
Fig is great.
Fig is great. How about Sushi?
Sushi's perfect.
Sushi's perfect.
It's a perfect name. I really do like food names. That you can't go wrong with food names. I like anything that's kind of weird. Obviously, having a cat named Lunchbox, which, like, I was on After Midnight a couple days ago.
Yes, that was great.
One of the topics were better security questions.
Yes.
And one of mine was, like, what is your cat's legal name? Like, what does the veterinarian know it as? And then what is the name you actually call it? They're not the same. They're never the same. So Lunchbox, very rarely do I call him Lunchbox. He's either the box, boxy, box box, lunchy. It's like, it's whatever comes out. Ghost is ghosty, go-go. Fuck it. Ghost is always destroying stuff. So it's like, fucking fuck. Like, that. I rarely use ghost name. I'm so angry at him.
Oh, so it's a first and last name.
Yeah,
fucking ghost.
Fucking ghost. Come on, man. I think it's important both, like, I have a list, by the way, it's on my phone. I have a list of, like, every cat name that I think is appropriate so that I can either help people name it or, like, for the next cat. And so I pulled my names off my list, but, like, some of them weren't good because you can't, like, I really like coupons and I don't say it right. It's supposed to be, like, what, coupons, but I say coupons, but, like, you can't yell coupons. So it's just not a good, and then I couldn't figure out a follow-up because you could be like Q, but then that's too much like QAnon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just
that'll confuse people.
Yeah, so it's like I like coupons, but it's like, it's just not, it's not good, especially because I think I might
Coop.
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 I have a nephew named Coop, you know.
Never mind.
So it's just like, that's the kind of, you have to be able to yell it. So like with Lunchbox, like Lunchy, I yell Lunchy all the time, go-go, ghosty. Like, you have to be able, and I think that's important with kids' names, too. Like, you're going to be yelling it most of the time. Make sure you have a good yelling nickname. So, I think that's half of it. Like, Walter, you can't yell Walter.
Your neighbor's going to be do you want?
They're going to think you're abusing a fucking kid. Like, you know, like.
Good point. When you leave to go on the road, do you put on one of those like YouTube videos where it's just like mice running around or the birds? Have you you've seen these, right?
I have.
Entertain My Cat or whatever they are.
When Pasta was older and moving less, I really tried to get her into bird watching, like just putting birds on YouTube, and she would be interested for maybe about 5 minutes and then she'd be like, fuck these birds. Like, she was just not into
it. Oh, interesting.
But my cats, I call it real life video games, because especially when it's nice out, the first thing I'll do, like, it should be nice when I get back to New York, I'll open up all my, like, I open up the shades, I open up all the windows, and the front of my apartment overlooks a street, but there's a kind of a tree and there's usually birds there. But the back of my apartment overlooks like my neighbor's garden. And there's a bunch of, like, not only do they kind of land on this like balcony thing, but they're in the trees and the flowers and they love it. Like, it's like, if I can't find my cats, they're staring out the window. So I'm trying. I feel like a mom. I'm like, I'm trying not to keep him on TV. You know, TV's not good for you.
Stop.
You don't want to get astigmatism. So we try to do nature's TV. And then I have noticed they really like cartoons. And there's like, I like cartoons. Yeah. So sometimes like my brother will come over and we'll watch anime or whatever. And like, they're really into it. So like, I'll sometimes be like, you guys want to watch Finding Nemo? Like, you know, and we'll watch Finding Nemo together. They're good cuddly cats.
Hilarious. You just reminded me of something I wanted to ask you. And this is not going to give anything about the ending of the special, but has your brother gotten more business based on him helping you with something in this special?
Yeah, he's gotten he's definitely gotten more followers, which is nice. He's starting to get a couple of commissions because he's kind of shifted gears and he's doing more glass work.
Oh, okay.
So he does these kind of pet commissions where you show a picture of your pet and he turns it into like stained glass.
Oh, wow.
Which is really beautiful. And then now he's getting into tufting. He's making rugs. And this is my brother. My brother will have a thought, probably buy the material too quickly, and then either watch stuff online or take one class and be proficient in it. Like he made this frog rug that I was like, there's like almost like a bidding war over it because it's so good. But he, incredibly creative. And even when I kind of tasked him with this job, he was just on it. So most of the artwork I show at the end of the special that he's made is already sold. And he's in a creative transitional period where he's kind of making everything. So like, my big thing I was telling him is like, I personally love upcycling and I see upcycling do really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bought a tiny TV, which is so funny. So it's like it's probably this big, this like maybe like almost a foot back. And then the screen is probably as big as our phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it for $15 at a flea market. And I was like, I want it. And so I just had this giant TV and I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I just liked it. And my brother, he saw it. He's like, I could turn that into a lamp. And I was like, done, hired, make it into a lamp. And then I found a bunch of street signs just out that they were throwing them away. And I was like, will you make me some tables? He's like, yep, I'll make you tables. Like my brother at this point is like, I have an idea. So now I was like, hey, do I have permission to buy crap and you can turn it into stuff? And he's like, yeah. So it's been kind of fun. Somebody told me, maybe it had been Tommy Ryman. There's a comic, I forget what the word is, but his entire car is filled with junk because he buys stuff and sells them to like flea markets and antique shops and stuff.
Mm.
And I was like, I want to do that. I don't want my car to be filled with junk, but like,
you could do that. That's easy.
Like I have an eye. I feel like it's like cat names and then like fun junk you can upcycle. the same way that my neighbor was throwing out, his brother worked on a set. And you know those old school newspaper things? Like it's big, it's metal, and you pull it and you get a newspaper on the street.
Yeah.
He had one that was like on a movie set. It was black and it had like a bunny on the side of it. It was like kind of graffitied.
Yeah.
And he was throwing it out and I was like, can I have it? And he's like, sure. And he's like, what are you going to do with it? I was like, I don't know. I'll ask my brother. And I told my brother, I was like, you want to try to turn it into a cat bed? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, if you sell it, you can have it. Like, if not, I'll have a cat bed until we sell it.
Holy cow.
So it's just like, I don't know. We're a very artsy family, and I love both. You know, my sister does the music, so the end song is my little sister's song. Her name's Elemi on Spotify and whatnot, and then Sam is Shady Lamps Designs on Instagram and Etsy.
So cool. We need to talk about. I knew it was coming because I heard you talk about it on stage last night. That there's an edit or two in the special.
Yeah.
Because I first learned about this maybe 6 months ago or so when Joe List's special came out. And I heard on Tuesdays with Stories, he was complaining that it was getting unmonetized or whatever you say about that. Because I think he said the same word you did.
Yeah. And it's funny because the first person I didn't actually know about Joe, I knew about Mike Cannon. And Mike Cannon, I don't know if he even said, am I allowed to say the word?
Sure.
Is this going to get demonetized?
There's no mon.
Oh, thank God. So Joe List said cunt, I said cunt. I'm not sure what Mike Cannon said, but I guess it was on the same realm. So anyway, and I'm trying to work out a joke about it because it clearly is a word that me and my family use sparingly. But I didn't know. I figured I, for one thing, I consider the word cunt to be just like a spicy bitch. Like, you know what I mean? Like extra bitchy. And while I understand it's more free flowing in the UK.
You said that last night from stage and it was like, yeah,
dude,
she's
they say,
right about that.
They say it all the time. So does that mean in the UK they can't say their favorite word? But I in no way thought it was hate speech, and in no way, and like, I'm not joking, it's in the same realm as the N-word, and you're like, hey, do I go around calling people cunts? I don't. But at the same time, like, the N-word, dude, and also I think context matters. I called a cat a cunt. There's nobody in the world that's going to fight me on that. There's not one person. So I, and like I said, you do pre-put your stuff online. A robot checks it and a robot said it was fine. And I fully believe somebody reported me. And that's also the problem with going outside your fan base. I think somebody didn't like me. They knew they could hurt me.
You think, really?
I 100% believe, because it was monetized a month before while I was like showing it to like to publicists and articles and stuff, and then for 48 hours it was fine. So somebody had to have reported it.
Wow.
There's no, once they check it, there's no robot. They're not checking it every day.
Sure. Right. Right.
So somebody probably reported it because they didn't like me.
And dirty.
And they knew it would harm me. So the thing is that if I was, I'm assuming if I was doing a speech, I would have no ads. But there is some leeway for music and comedy, and therefore I have limited ads, meaning that I'm getting anywhere from 30 to 80% less ads than I would if I didn't say the C word. So you can edit in YouTube, but it's very rudimentary and very hard. My boyfriend is an editor for HBO, and he was like, I hate this program with my whole life.
Wow.
But he looked at it. You have to like pick one of the songs that they let you pick.
So this was when I heard it, I'm like, this is a very, I've never heard an edit like this ever.
Of course.
Ever.
But, and you can only make it a second, so it goes over the words a little bit, but it's like, it is what it is. It sucks. And we tried to find something funny. Like, the first time we heard it, we're like, it's pretty funny. So it is bleeped now, and I'm trying to submit it again. But, like, my contact at YouTube was like, hey, you only get one human review. He's like, I can't guarantee that I can get you another human review, and I can't guarantee, even if they watch it, if they're going to give you your ads back. So my follow-up question was, all right, if I'm not going to get my ads back, then I want to be able to say what I want to say. So I'll just revert it back.
Yeah.
If it doesn't. So it's a bummer. You know, I think saying the C word is worth all my money? It is not.
Lesson learned for next time if you do another one on YouTube.
I guess. Although now I'm writing this joke about my sister calling a coworker a cunt. So I'm just,
oh, that's right.
What am I doing? I'm like George Carlin the situation. So I don't know. I am sad. I've gone through all the emotions about it. I'm really sad about it. You know, if I had known beforehand, I would have bleeped it properly. And I think,
right,
you know, you can kind of kuh and then bleep and then people get the essence of what you're saying.
Yeah.
As somebody that cares about language, the full phrase is, I'm talking about my cat. I'm talking about my cat, and I said she was a cunt the whole time, but she was my cunty cat, and I wanted to keep her. Like, I could have switched it to bitch, but it's like, it's so fun to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
good alliteration.
I know.
Cunty
thank
cat.
You. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Like, a teacher would have been proud. So it is a bummer, and you know, what's even more interesting about it is my podcast comes out on Tuesday. And I was saying bye with my friend Maria, who I do the podcast with. And we were saying, see you next Tuesday. And she was laughing. She's like, you know, that's a euphemism. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, all right, see you next Tuesday. Cunt, cunt, cunt. And like, my friend made it into a clip. And I was like, well, since we're not monetized, it should be fine. And it got taken down from Facebook altogether. So Facebook considers it hate speech as well and won't even let you put it on there, let alone, even though it wasn't monetized. So it's like, I really do feel like maybe I was raised wrong, because I guess I had in no way, there's no pause. Like, there's like, am I going around? But I don't go around calling people a bitch either. I feel like, right, I call people mostly animals. But like, most of my cursing isn't at people. It's to express
emphasis.
Emphasis on a feeling, sure. Right? And we're going in this weird backwards motion with the internet, where the internet was like a free for all and there was kind of no organization and you could do whatever you want. And then people are like, this is a little crazy. People are getting together and they're being racist and awful. I get it. And then now it's at this place where you're like, I can say more words on late night television than I can say on the internet. And that's weird.
That's a huge change.
It's a huge change. And it's also, I'm always going to be an advocate for free speech and expression. But I also believe, like, if people don't like it, they won't watch it. And if people don't want it, they'll back away from it, and you'll get less views and people won't care about it. But when it comes to language, right, it's a different thing. Like, if I'm being hateful or I'm trying to hurt people, I get restrictions on that. I totally understand that. But context does matter. And I think the hard thing about comedy, probably in the last 10 years or so, is that we're being reprimanded for something in a vacuum and no context is applied. And it's like, you do okay in public, like you do okay on a stage because it's a comedy club and I'm a comedian and these are jokes. But when you start to put your stuff online, people that aren't in this bubble go, hey, this is fucked up. And you're like, is it? I don't feel like I was being fucked up when I say it. And everybody else seems to understand that I'm not being a piece of shit. Am I a piece of shit? And you start to question it. But I've come back around to be like, at no point am I being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
At no point am I trying to hurt anybody. And there's so many people out there that are actively trying to hurt people. Why are the people that are trying to make people's day better the ones being targeted? And it's like, don't get me wrong, there are shitty comedians trying to hurt people. But it's like, there needs to be context around it.
Whether it's AI or a human, they got to do a better job.
Yeah,
clearly.
And I don't know. I'll always fight for it. And, you know, there's people that are going to say stuff that I don't believe in, but I'm always going to kind of be like, yeah, like, dude, there's jokes that I don't like, but I'm not going to tell you you can't do them.
We should mention one final thing, that after your week here at Acme, that you soon go to do more shows in Europe in May, correct?
Yeah, I'm doing a crazy tour. I'm like booking hotels right now, and I'm like, what was I thinking? Yeah.
You're known for traveling a lot and doing
shows.
I
do, and I'm tired. I'm very tired. I'm excited because my friend Maria Shahada, who I do the podcast with, we have a podcast called Two Non-Doctors. We're calling it Two Non-Europeans. So we're going everywhere. I'm adding some city. It's like mostly Germany. I hired this guy I met who I worked with last year in Switzerland, and he helped me get some extra dates. And it's like mostly Germany. It's a lot of Germany. Places.
Have you performed there before?
I've performed in Berlin, but nowhere else. So I'm going to be in like Frankfurt. I'm going to be in Munich, Heidelberg.
Sure.
Something with a K. It looks like Karl Schwarzschwar.
Like, oh yeah, that's it.
Nailed it. But yeah, I'm going to be in Amsterdam. I'm going to be in Switzerland. I'm going to be in Edinburgh. I'm going to be in Dublin. Like, I'm doing a bunch of repeats as well as like a bunch of places. I haven't been to Amsterdam in years, so I'm really excited about that one. It's all a risk. But I don't know. I've been to Ohio so much. I always throw them under the bus, but it's like, it's nice to go somewhere that you're like, I don't know. It's different. It's like, I really, the same way that you take kind of the VR off, you know what I mean? You look up from your phone and you realize you're somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think with touring, America really is like a Dunkin' Donuts next to a Lululemon next to a Target. And it's really nice to get off a plane and be like, oh, the architecture is different. The food is different. The people are different. The venue is different. Like, it really kind of jolts you and wakes you up, and it makes touring interesting. And I don't know, I feel like I expand as a human every time I go outside my comfort zone.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm traveling something that I don't get to do enough of, and I feel that same way.
And I love trains. I'm a big fan of trains. I know they're all derailing everywhere, but I'm a big train fan.
Riding? Watching?
So we all know the airport is a clusterfuck of stress and whatever, but like, you know, you got to get there 2 hours early and then they're going through all your stuff and you can only have so much carry on and da da da. Trains are like, have fun. Like, you show up a half hour early. Some of them x-ray your stuff. Some of them don't. I swear to God, half the time they don't check your passport. Like, I don't know. If you're going to be a vagabond and you're going to be a criminal, it's the train, man. Like, the train is awesome.
In Europe.
In Europe. And they're cheaper. And it's just, I don't know. And, like, to be first class on a train is, like, $10 more. Like, everything about the train is dope.
How about Greyhound bus?
No, thank you. I've done it. I've done it. I don't like it. Not a fan.
If you would have said you liked it, I meant she's lying to me for the first time
ever. Yeah. Although, like, when I was a younger comic, there used to be, like, these, like, Bolt buses that had, Wi-Fi. It would be, like, $10 to go to Boston or, like, $20 to go to D.C. And it's, like, okay, I got Wi-Fi and I can sleep. Let's do this.
Sure.
But I think I'm done buses.
Sure, sure. So and you mentioned the podcast. That's you took some time off. It's back now.
Yeah, over a year off. And okay. We're back and dumber than ever. So if you want to hear two girls be dumb.
I still, that podcast comes to mind for me quite often because I don't know if you remember this. I learned from listening to it years ago about the why my neck hurts driving sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I need to freaking move the seat up closer.
Yeah.
And not lean. And it's changed my life.
You're welcome. Yeah. See, we're healing.
Uh-huh.
We're not, don't take any advice from us, but we're very healing.
thank you, Liz, for doing this. I assume you'll be back in a year or so and we'll do this again.
I hope so. Let's do it again.
Awesome. Do you, maybe you, I assume you'll have another hour by then as well.
I do. I'm hopefully going to tape another hour. Truly, I could tape it today, but venues and getting things organized. So hopefully I'll tape it in the fall again and it'll be out in the spring again.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to No Laugh Track Podcast, the show with a new comedian headliner every single week with me, the host, Justin Severson. The show is produced in the heart of Minneapolis's North Loop neighborhood at the legendary Acme Comedy Club. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Podbean, and watch the video version on our official No Laugh Track YouTube channel. Wherever you are enjoying the pod, remember, drop a like, leave a review, and please tell your friends about the show. And most importantly, come to Acme and see my show in person.